You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the show that 9 out of 10 game developers say is better than nothing. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. Got a great show for you, but as always, before we get into our news, we're going to talk about some things we've been checking out. And we have quite a bit, I think, this week, right?
You want me to go first since I don't have quite as much?
Yeah, let's do it.
I didn't do as much as you guys did.
Go for it.
I've been playing a game on Steam called Wasted.
Okay.
It just came out like a couple weeks ago. It's published by Adult Swim. And it's like this Fallout parody roguelike set in a post-apocalypse, but instead of how Fallout's like 50s post-apocalypse, This is 80s post-apocalypse.
Oh, that's the best kind of post-apocalypse.
Yeah. And it's got like cartoony graphics. Everybody's got big heads. But the point is there's a vault called a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get in there because it has booze. And this is a future where all the smart people went into vaults, but the vaults didn't work and they all died. So everybody on the surface is just a bunch of dumb idiots crawling around trying to get their hands on booze, which is alcohol that's been irradiated so it gives you powers.
Oh, great. Jeez.
And the point of the game is to go down to this vault, find the booze. And when you find it, it'll give you a hangover for your next run that gives you some kind of bonus.
Okay.
And the deeper you go, the better better booze you're going to find.
Oh, that's really
interesting. The better powers you're going to get.
That's really interesting. That's creative.
And
yeah, I like that.
The mechanics work exactly the same as Fallout minus VATS.
Okay.
So you can sneak. I mean, shoot. It's exactly Fallout. And you do a lot of looting boxes stuff.
It's fraternity Fallout.
Yeah. with roguelike mechanics, and it's really fun.
Okay, cool.
I had more I was going to say about it, but I'm blanking out. I'm blacking out. And it's funny. It's got a great sense of humor.
It sounds like it does.
It's by one of my more favorite indie developers. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. It's like Mr. Podunkian or something.
Okay, yeah.
Podunkian.
He's made a lot of good games in the past, but he's not one of the bigger indie names that you hear about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another good one he did. He did a dog one for Adult Swim, too, that was like Metroid, but you're a dog.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
I mean, it's a good game. It's like $15 on Steam. I got it in the Humble Bundle, the monthly bundle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I got that because I wanted that cat girl without salad amuse bouche, which also is a neat game. It's like a bullet hell shmup.
Okay.
But all the power-ups you pick up are based on other game genres.
Oh, okay.
So you'll get like a DDR gun where you have to tap the arrows while you're shooting.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
There's an RPG one where you select attacks off a menu. There's a platforming one that shoots out a little Mega Man guy, and you hit shoot again to make him jump on the bad guys.
Okay, that's interesting.
And it's all got, like, you're a space bounty hunter cat girl that's going after these different bounties, and they have conversations and talk and stuff while you're shooting. All the art is by Linsbot, who's one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, I do know Linsbot. Yeah.
She's fantastic, and it looks great.
Cool.
It's a way forward game who makes Shantae. So,
okay, yeah. You know, all right.
Way forward always does
that. That sounds really interesting. I'd really like to play that one.
Unfortunately, the only way you can get it is through that Humble Monthly bundle that's gone.
Ah, bummer.
Womp, womp.
I'm sure they're going to do more because it was kind of a demo. It was kind of a proof of concept for the game. That's why it was called Amuse Bouche.
Okay.
Because there's only 3 levels, but.
Okay, all right.
It's really cool.
Cool.
And I'll buy any game that has Linsbot art in it.
Yeah. I remember her from the Game Grumps animated. That's when I first got introduced to her art style. Really, really cool looking art style. So, okay, well, I can go real quick. Actually went to Indie PopCon. This is pop culture and not really a comic book convention. Because there were some people selling comic books. There's an awful lot of people dressed up in comic book costumes and cosplay and stuff like that. But it wasn't really a comic book convention. In Indianapolis, Indiana, and it was a blast. This is the third year that they've done this, so they're a relatively new
convention.
It looks like a really good con.
It was huge. They took up about 2/3 of the Indiana Convention Center.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really good. There were a couple hiccups, from what I understand, with some of the like autograph signing sessions and photo op stuff, but I didn't really get into any of that. So from my point of view, everything went really great. They had some excellent guests, a lot of YouTubers. A lot of YouTubers, like The Completionist, Gerard Khalil, and the people who do the Dex, which is a Pokemon-like thing.
It's cool that they get YouTubers, because you don't get to see them as often at cons.
No, you really don't.
It's a cool thing to do.
Yeah. Let's see. They also had the big draw, and I don't think the con was as prepared for as big them being as big a draw as they were, was Ninja Sex Party. We played a couple of their songs on the show.
Yeah, we talked about them a lot.
Yeah, but they, I don't think the con was ready for for the NSP fandom, because the band didn't have a whole lot of time to do autographs. They didn't have a booth, so they set up free autograph time, where they would be on like the main stage, and you'd have to get a wristband to get in line and go up, get a free autograph, and you're done. But they were
they're free.
Yeah, they were. It was really cool. But I showed up on Saturday a little early to go in and try to get, you know, my wristband. And the security guard told a whole group of us, were all sold out or given out around 5 a.m. that morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People were lining up outside of the convention center waiting to get in so that they could get their free...
That's insane.
Get in line to get a ticket so that they can get in line to get their free autograph from Danny and Brian.
That's when you flash your press pass and be like, hey.
I tried that. No, I tried that. I said, because VIP people got a free pass for like one free autograph pass or whatever. And I was like, does this count for that? And he goes, no, sorry. But the press pass did get me into the con about a half hour early.
That's cool.
So that's really cool. Actually got to walk around and meet a lot of the celebrities, which is something I don't usually do at cons. Usually they're super busy and I'm super busy.
And you don't want to wait in line.
Yeah, because the more time you wait in line, the less time you have experiencing the convention.
Yeah.
But no, actually, again, talked to a couple YouTubers just wandered around. Everyone was happy. Everyone was having a great time. I love going to conventions. Never any issues, usually. And actually, on the website, I have a huge photo gallery of
Go check that out, because there's like a lot of cool stuff in there.
One of your pictures made me really sad.
Which one was that?
The Roger Rabbit one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
The dip with the shoe.
Yeah.
And Judge Doom.
Yeah. That was really good.
Pulling him out of his coat.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yes. Oh, man. But no, there are a lot of really, really creative costumes, and I recognized 90% of them.
So not a lot of anime.
Anime. Yeah, you're right.
But it's a pop culture, American pop culture con. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Undertale.
It's huge.
I didn't realize how big it was.
I was over at Samantha's nephew's for his birthday, and him and his friend are over there talking about it, and they're like, I don't know, 13 and 10. And I'm like, what the heck?
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot of the main character, because that's easy. You just have the shirt. Although I saw one girl walking around, had the haircut and had crocheted a sweater.
Oh, that's cool.
With the stripe.
That's cool.
But yeah, I saw a lot of that. I saw a ton of Undines, like the blue
fish girl. Oh, that's cool. I like her.
Yeah. And multiple Tem shops. Like the Temmie, like the weird dog person.
That's
kinda
weird. That's so weird to me, because Timmy is a person.
Yeah,
Timmy Chang is a person.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's very weird. It was a joke. It was just kind of a thrown in joke surprise thing.
Yeah,
because she did art for the game. It's very weird.
I'm sure these people aren't entirely aware that Timmy Chang is a person.
Yeah, I don't know how I would react in that situation if I were an artist and I met someone
dressed like a game character based on you.
Yeah, that's very weird.
I follow her on Twitter. She's great.
Yeah, she seemed pretty cool. Anyway, while I was at the con, I got to demo a couple of video games, because they had a whole section of the convention that were all indie game developers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you probably would have spent like 90% of the time there. Yeah, really cool stuff.
I gotta go next year.
You definitely do. Anybody who gets a chance, I would recommend this con too. It's really good. They did an excellent job. But I want to talk about these games super quick, and I just got to pull up their names. Well, anyway, the first game I got to demo was a game called Hive Jump, and it's on Steam or Early Access or whatever, the Steam Greenlight or whatever.
You can get it now, but it's not done.
Right. And it's a procedurally generated platformer. You're like a space marine or whatever, and you can select different style of blast, a gun, and secondary and tertiary equips like grenades or whatever. And like I said, everything is procedurally generated. It's all different levels each time. The game is good. There was one thing that was really kind of throwing me, because you're playing with an Xbox controller, and the jump and the gun buttons were the two triggers, left and right trigger. And I don't know why, I just could not figure out.
I've never heard of a game ever setting up its controls that way. That's
weird. It was really hard to get. I mean, I did not do a very good job at it. I felt kind of bad. But it's like using the trigger to jump was just weird.
I'm sure that this is part of their play test, to watch people play it at the con, and I'll bet they'll realize that they made a mistake.
I hope so, because it was, other than that, it was really fun.
It sounds cool. It looks kind of like a Metroid meets Spelunky type of thing.
Very much so, yeah. Very, very cool.
I do really like Spelunky.
Oh, yeah, Spelunky is a fantastic game. Yeah.
And it is co-op. It's four-player co-op.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like Spelunky.
Yeah. Yeah, so played that. And the other one was a game called Hero Generations Regen. This is a redux of a game that has been on Steam before. The developers, Heart-Shaped Games? Yeah, Heart-Shaped Games. They developed the game for PC and went back and redid it for iPad, basically, and then used those assets to redo their PC game as well. And it is it's like a big RPG-looking map, and you have your main player character, and it's all randomly generated, the map and the character and everything. And the goal is to walk around and get money and respect by fighting monsters. And once you hit a certain level, you can find a mate and create the next like character in the down the line. And each step you take on the map is like drawn out in squares, and each step is a year of your life. So you have a limited amount of time to get to continue your bloodline, basically.
It's probably like that record of the Arghast War game, but not for anime perverts.
Oh yeah, probably. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds like an anime pervert game.
It came with the boob mouse pad, that's about right there. It says strategy thing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it's I think it's also on Steam. I think it's actually on Steam now. I don't think it's a early access. I think it's in full. But really good time. Really enjoyed that. Trying to think what else. Oh, got to meet Lloyd Kaufman at the convention.
That's awesome.
The guy who created the Toxic Avenger and head of Troma Studios. Uncle Lloyd. He was pretty great. Actually got to stand and talk to him for about 5 minutes about filmmaking. Just, I don't know what to say.
I've always wanted to meet Lloyd Kaufman.
It was bucket list for me. If I had a bucket list, meeting Lloyd Kaufman and talking to him from saying more than just, hey, I love your stuff, and then moving on would have been on it.
I mean, he's such a cool guy. If you see anything that of just him, you know, pitching for Troma, he's just a super cool guy.
Super cool guy. So yeah, that was pretty great.
Charles Martinet.
I did get to speak to Charles Martinet. He's the official voice of Mario, Luigi,
and Wario.
Waluigi,
all the male Marios that aren't Bowser.
Yeah. And he was pretty cool. Just didn't have a whole lot of time to speak with him, but he was a cool guy. Spoke to Steve Cardenas, the second Red Ranger. And he was cool. We are of similar height and build. I think I could take him.
I don't know, man. He had the morphin grid in him.
He did. He did have the morphin grid in him. But I'm wily. I'm spry.
Yeah. If you beat him, you get to become a former Red Ranger.
Mm-hmm, that's it.
You get his title.
Yep. It's a Santa Claus kind of.
Yeah. Then you get to go to cons. Situation. You know.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a real Power Ranger because they're not real. But you get to be the former.
Yeah.
Power
I get
Ranger.
To be a former Power Ranger. Exactly. But no, other than that, I mean,
I get his memories.
Yes, yes, it's the Highlander. It's there the can quickening. Only be one former Red Power Ranger.
It's the quickening.
Yes. I
really, do have to decapitate him in the fight.
I do. Yeah, that's going to be sad. But no, it was a lot of fun. The con was great. I really don't know what else to talk about because I'm going to just start rambling. I've already been rambling. But it was
sounds great, and I'm super jealous.
It was a really great to go to a con that was independently owned.
Yeah, it wasn't a big amalgamation of cons.
Yeah, because there were some cons that we've been to, and I'm not going to name names, but we know who we're talking about. That where every time you walk into the con, no matter what location of it you go to, it all looks exactly the same. It's
yeah.
the same guests. The layout is exactly the same. It's very homogenized. And while those are great for when you're first getting into conventions, it's just not as fun.
You don't get to experience as much as of being in a different place.
Yeah, exactly. So some of these smaller independent, and this is by no means smaller. This might have actually been a little bigger than the cons we usually go to. But independently owned, it's really nice, and it's really good to support them because I want to see their cons continue for sure.
Yeah, Cincinnati Comic Con that I went to last year was a lot like that. It was different than the other one.
Well, Cincy Comic Con is more. It's definitely more comic book.
Yeah,
right. That's like 90% of their. Yeah.
And they were actually selling comics in there, and
that's cool. That's something I kind of miss from conventions as well.
We'll have to go to the Cincy one.
I kind of want to.
It's got Kate Lath too.
I was
going to
say
too.
Yeah, your favorite.
Yeah, I want to get assigned. By then the Hellcat trade will be out. And
yeah,
I'm gonna get that. I want to get that signed.
You'll get that signed, and then you'll just pass out in joy.
Yeah.
Foamy mouth guy from Avatar. So. Yeah.
Speaking of cons,
the con is on.
The con is on.
That's the episode title right there.
It is, yeah.
Nerd Overload, the con is on.
I wasn't on the show last week because I was at a convention.
Yeah.
I was at Origins Game Fair from Wednesday to Sunday.
Wow.
That's a long con. They're playing the long con.
They are playing the long con.
Oh, yeah. I was starting to feel it after a while.
I bet. I forget. Is that in Columbus?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's in the Greater Columbus Convention Center.
Gotcha. Okay.
Home to many a con.
Yes.
Home to many. Yeah, it is a convention center. And it was under construction.
Yeah.
Getting a facelift anyway. Mm. It was rough. Half the food court was there, and most of the week it closed at like 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow. Ouch. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
No Subway for you.
Subway was open for a little bit.
No bad, warm Sushi.
Oh, no, never.
Every
never.
Time.
I have higher standards than
hey,
that.
Hey, man, every time I go, yeah. I got to get food poisoning from that sushi stand every time. It's a tradition.
So
the Chinese food from that same place is good, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, I experienced the con / worked the con. Yeah, I was working. I was running game demo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What were you demoing?
I was doing Amp Guard.
Oh yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
My LARP thing.
You were LARP stirring it up.
Yeah, I was. And there were other LARPs, and I felt like we had to fight over territory.
Which is fitting.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, there was, like, this one LARP closer to the actual convention center area than we were called, like, something dungeon something, and you actually got to walk a dungeon.
I hope it's actually called something dungeon something.
I don't remember.
Lamp Guard.
I don't actually remember the actual name of it. But like I'd see them and like I'm like
super,
you can't
super dungeon time 5,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it was fun. I spent a lot of long hours, probably longer hours than I probably needed to doing stuff. But I still had fun. I walked the game demo areas, exhibition hall a lot. I did a few laps through the vendors hall. Saw some amazing stuff in the vendor's hall that I cannot afford.
Oh, yeah. That's usually how it goes.
Like, there's this company called Wormwood, and they are an artisan gaming...
Worm seller.
Yes.
Sorry.
No.
It's spelled like worm like a dragon, you goon. Anyway.
You can still sell worms.
Shut up.
Okay.
For your LARP, fishing LARP, your Legend of the River King LARP experience.
I hate you, Cody.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway, they specialize in making gaming supplies for like D&D player, basically.
Okay.
A lot of like high quality woods with magnets and stuff. It's
dice tower type of
stuff.
Yes,
dice towers, dice boxes. They have Dungeon Master screens that like do all kinds of crazy cool stuff.
Oh, that sounds cool.
That does sound cool.
Yeah. Depending on the type of woods and stuff you get, you pick out for it, it could cost you up to like $798.
Wow. That sounds significantly less cool. Now that you say that, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, a little bit.
If they want to send us some trial products,
I mean, yeah,
I mean, we'll talk about them.
Oh yeah, they are. There was a lot of cool stuff, but the people like were almost like car salesmen, like super dressed up nice and whatnot. And I'm like, I almost don't want to touch anything.
Oh, there was, I forget what con I was at, but they had a bunch of animation cells.
Oh really?
From like Hanna-Barbera stuff and like stuff that I totally nerd out over because I love animation, and I'm sitting there flipping through them, and the guy's just like hounding me to buy one. It was the last day of the con.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, I can't afford these. I'm just looking at them. I'm like, I really want this Scooby-Doo, but no.
I demoed a bunch of games. I played this card game called Spoils, and it's like Magic.
Did it go bad?
No, I actually did really well okay. in it. No, there was no okay. whoosh. There was no whoosh.
It was just
whoosh.
A bad joke.
It was just a bad joke.
Like, I get it.
It's he chose not to recognize it.
As a I joke. Get it. It's
if,
just not
if
funny.
I don't recognize it, it's not real. I reject your bad joke and I substitute my own. So, but anyway, it plays like Magic. It flows better than Magic. Mm. The cards themselves have like the humor of a 14-year-old.
Okay. A lot of boob jokes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. There are so many boob jokes. But I participated in a $2,000 tournament and got 9th place.
Not bad.
Yeah. I was almost undefeated in another tournament where I won a $40 box full of cards that has like 420-something cards in it.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't opened it yet. I saw this miniature game that looked like a lot of fun called Dust. And it's like an alternate history World War II kind of thing.
Hmm.
And you can either play it on a field with a ruler, kind of like 40, like Warhammer, or there's like a grid setup in the rules.
Okay.
And there's 3 factions: Allies, the Russian Union, and the Axis, and they all have like different things that are kind of like their bag. Like the Axis are a lot of like monsters and occult stuff. Like
that's
like
kind of cool.
Yeah. There's like a whole bunch of like Nazi zombies, Walker mechs, all kinds of cool stuff.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool. I really recommend looking it up. They had a couple different options. You can paint your own models, or you can spend the extra money and get pre-painted models.
Okay.
That look really, really good.
All right.
But that was kind of cool. There's this other little miniature war game I was looking at called Sergeants, and everything's made out of little cardboard pieces, and you fit them all together. Looks really cool. It takes about 3 hours to learn.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I really didn't get a lot of time to do that one. I saw a new Rick and Morty game that's not going to be out until Gen Con. It's a Mises box. And you open it up, and there's a little chip in the side of, in the top of the box that's, I'm Mr. Mises, look at me! You know, kind of thing. But it's like a dice/card game, and it looks so much fun. Huh.
That sounds cool.
I think the Cryptozoic guys are putting that one out.
Oh, they're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elswick hates them.
Oh, really?
Because their card quality is garbage.
Oh.
He's very militant about his card games.
He seems the type.
Oh, yeah, he sleeves everything. It's his thing.
Hey,
yeah.
Epic Spell Wars is a fantastic game.
Yes, it is. Yep. Yes, it is. I love that game.
I want to get the expansion as an expansion now.
Oh, it does.
I played this other game called Dungeon Lord, I think. But all the cards are done in like an 8-bit style, like the art and whatnot. They kind of look like Final Fantasy.
Oh, is it? It's not Boss Monster?
No, it's not Boss Monster. Okay. It's a different game, and it's really interesting. And it's like a deck drafting, deck building kind of game. That one was a lot of fun. Runs about $20. I know. There's so many games. There's like a huge overload of stuff. Played a lot of Werewolf.
Oh yeah,
I like Werewolf.
I played a lot of Werewolf with strangers. That was awkward and weird.
That would be.
But there's like a lot of these people who do it like every year, so they all kind of know each other, and they know each other's tells. And you'll see and watch them like argue back and forth about stuff.
That actually would be fun. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Werewolf at Origins is a 24-hour thing.
Oh.
It goes into the night.
Wow.
It's part of the Amp Guard After... Or not Amp Guard After Dark. Well, we did have Amp Guard After, but Origins After Dark program.
Okay.
Our demo did really well.
Good.
Lots of people came in, did a lot of battle games. We ran a few tournaments. We had a big golden robot trophy that we had made to get to the winner of our Saturday tournament because the theme of Origins was robots.
Okay.
I really wish I would have taken pictures, but unfortunately I was wearing my LARP outfit for most of the time and it don't have pockets.
Ah, gotcha.
So I really didn't have my phone on me much. But there was like a huge Pokemon card tournament. I didn't realize people still played the Pokemon card games.
Of course people still play the Pokemon card
games. I never think about it. You know, I see them at the store, but I don't know anybody who actually still plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good card game.
Like, no, it is. Like, seriously, I walked into the freaking, like, the exhibition room, and there's a giant inflatable Pikachu just hanging from the ceiling. I mean, awesome. It was...
I don't think you can say that word on the radio.
No.
Shut up. Why are you busting my chops so much this morning? It's because you didn't get to go to a con?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm
very... Jealous of me and Sam's good times?
Con envy.
I am. I do have the con envy.
There was one thing I normally do when I go to Origins that I didn't do this year, and I'm kind of mad at myself.
Was it for sleep? Is it sleep?
Well, yeah, there was definitely a high lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Like Saturday into Sunday, I'd have 45 minutes in 24 hours.
Wow.
That's rough.
Yeah, it was. But nothing like playing, you know, werewolf until dawn.
Yeah.
And then getting breakfast at a hotel. Okay,
so what's the one thing that you got to do that you do every year?
That I didn't get to do.
Yeah, what was it?
I didn't play the BattleTech Battle Pause games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they include you in this thing, and it's a full cockpit, and it's a full 3D.
Oh, those things, yeah.
Yeah, I love playing that. It's so much fun. It's like $6 to do it, but it's so much fun. And there's like a bunch of them lined up, and a bunch of people get them. It's
just, it's like one of those simulator things.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
That's cool.
That you control. So much fun. So many games. There was like a Catan tournament going on. I kind of watched that for a little bit.
I like that game.
I'm one of the few nerds who've never actually played Catan, and every time...
Wow, I've played Catan, and I don't play, you know, a ton of board games.
Yeah, every time I say I've never played Catan, I get a lot of weird looks, like I've got, like, you know, a second head growing or something. But no, next year, actually, the AmpGuard demo is going to be not in the hotel area of the convention center. We're actually going to be in the convention center proper.
That's good. For next time, I mean.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to increase our foot traffic, like, exponentially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, we ran all kinds of classes, like weapon making, shield making, bow making, a leatherworking class. And I was sitting there, I'm like, thinking about it, I'm like, man, I always see, like, these really nice leather products, like, online and stuff, like bracers, pouches, just belts, whatever. And I'm like, man, that must take a lot of work. And I'm watching these people coming into this class who have no experience producing really cool looking stuff. And I was like, well, crap, what am I doing with my life? But I always enjoy Origins. It's not really like, there was a little bit of cosplay, but not really a lot.
Yeah.
It's not really what it's about.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You can't wear a big old bulky costume and play Catan.
Not really. I mean, I did see a couple cosplayers, just not much.
Right.
I saw a group of kids dressed like Big Hero 6 characters and Inside Out characters.
That's cool.
Kind of running around together. That was interesting.
Yeah.
That was about it, really. Okay. No real special guests that I could recognize.
Again, it's not that kind of con.
Yeah.
Well, Wil Wheaton and Felicia Day did show up one year.
Oh, wow, that's cool. But they're kind of... That's
their thing.
Yeah,
that's their thing.
All right.
But yeah, Origins Game Fair, always a good time.
Very cool.
Double
thumbs up. You can't see it because it's not a visual medium, but double thumbs up. All right, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Hello to all my friends at Nerd Overload. It's-a-me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one! Woohoo!
We're back. That was Jump by Ninja Sex Party off of their Under the Covers album.
The only album we can play songs from on the radio.
Yeah. you also heard Charles Martinet give a shout-out to the show as Mario. That was... pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Number one.
Every time I hear that shout out, it makes me smile. Every time.
Woohoo! Yeah. So let's get into some news. Let's just dive right into the big one first. Mighty Number 9. We talk about this a lot.
Yeah, and it finally happened for some people.
For some people.
It finally came out.
For better or worse, they finally released it. And it has been plagued with issues after its release.
Yeah. Well, it's been plagued with issues its entire life.
Yes. It's just been a roller coaster of sadness.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been delayed twice?
Twice.
At least.
Uh-huh.
And here it is, and guess what? It's still a buggy mess.
It's bad.
They messed up sending people codes. Some people's codes to download the game didn't work.
Yeah, well, I have the list here. I have a whole list of everything that's gone wrong since its release, and it was released, what, Tuesday?
Tuesday, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So here we go. The codes were sent through Humble Bundle, which was okay. Yeah,
Humble Bundle's fine. They're usually fine.
No email was sent, and the codes were in a weird place. They weren't like in the standard spot on Humble Bundle. It was a hard time. You're having a hard time finding them to begin with. DLC codes were wrong, like the backer-specific DLC stuff.
Yeah, they sent like two of the retro outfit instead
of... none of the Ray, whatever that is.
Yeah.
The Wii U version, it doesn't work. And there have been reports that they are hard-locking hard drives because they think it's a pirated game or whatever. Like, it is bricking Wii U's. Like, ruining Wii U's.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, really bad news. The Xbox 360 version was just outright delayed. Again, yeah. 360 owners just don't have it. This isn't a big thing, but the official website hadn't been updated since February.
Yeah, it still has the wrong release date on it.
It had February 9th as a release date, which was the last time they got bumped. There was the PS4 physical copies. The graphics are all screwed up.
Oh yeah, there's like weird color effects going on. Yeah, it looks like a negative, like a film negative.
Yeah, I've also heard reports that the DLC codes for the PC version, Windows 10 is flagging it as a virus.
Nice.
Like, it will just auto delete the files off your computer because it thinks they're viruses.
That's probably for the best.
Probably. Yeah.
even Windows 10 knows it's bad.
Here's the thing. This is a $4 million game.
Yeah.
Yep.
It Kickstarter made $4 million.
And to have this many problems is unacceptable. It's just the worst.
Yeah.
After
being delayed twice, this shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't have made it come out on so many systems at once. That was a mistake.
That was a problem. They should have focused on making one good game and then worried about porting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody, you've actually played a little bit of it.
Yeah, I played the first level and then one of the other ones. Yeah. I think it was Avi, the flying robot level.
Okay.
Which I didn't finish it because it was hard.
Okay.
But it's not that bad. Like, if there wasn't so many bugs and if it wasn't ugly as sin, which it absolutely is hideous.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought, well, the graphics don't look great, but it's probably my laptop. Because I was playing it on my laptop, which isn't the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked in the options menu and everything was set to highest possible setting.
Yeah, because I asked you, I remember when the demo came out and the demo looked like just the worst. And you told me it's the same. Like, they didn't update anything from it.
Yeah, it looks the same. Their mouths don't, there's no lip sync. There's tons of voice acting, which is not bad.
Yeah.
Maybe a little annoying, but... there's no lip sync. Nobody's mouth moves when they talk.
It's a $4 million game.
$4 million video game.
Their mouth should freaking move.
Yeah. I mean, I know they didn't get... not all $4 million of those dollars went to the game, but there's cheaper indie games that are better.
Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Shovel Knight is a much more polished, much better Mega Man homage
game.
Yeah.
than this.
And I mean, the gameplay isn't terrible. The dash mechanic and stuff that initially I didn't like has grown on me through the two levels. The ability to line up combos with it is pretty cool. The scoring system is neat.
Okay.
But it's so buggy and broken. There was a point where I couldn't connect with certain platforms anymore. I was jumping up onto them and would go straight through.
Really?
Yeah, the only way I could get past it was to die and respawn, and then the platforms would work again.
Whoa, that's bad.
There was a part where a cutscene didn't trigger. Like, the enemy boss was supposed to fly up and a bunch of robots with him and shoot this airship I was on, and it catches on fire, and you got to get off.
Right.
The first time I did it, I was just stood there, and then the airship exploded. Like, it didn't have any of the cutscene stuff that was supposed to happen. Just the voice was playing, and all of a sudden the ship caught on fire. Like, it didn't trigger the cutscene correctly.
Wow. So do you think they, what do you think happened? Do you think they had the product and they rushed it through QA? Do you think they had QA at all on this?
They had to have some. I think they just stretched themselves too thin with all the ports.
Yeah.
Because it literally releases on 10 different, they had 10 different SKUs.
Yeah.
That's just way too many.
That is. Man, that, and I feel bad. I feel bad because there was a lot riding on this game.
Yeah.
And I know Mr. Inafune, he does, I don't think he wanted to put out a stinker. I think he wanted to put out a quality game, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's the heart and soul of a good game in there. It just can't get out.
It's what it sounds like. It's just mired by too many bugs and just general just badness.
Yeah.
Like if it had another year to develop, if they didn't have to rush it, if they didn't have backers scrambling and screaming about it not being out, if they had another year, do you think they would have corrected a lot of these?
Yeah.
Just a full year of just QA.
Yeah.
Just clean up the graphics and QA.
Or if it was just a PC game. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a controller.
Oh,
I was
really?
Playing it without a controller.
Yeah.
And the controls don't make any sense.
Oh, great.
Like, it's WASD to move.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to use the mouse to shoot.
Wow, that is weird.
And dash. But the mouse doesn't do anything else. Like, you don't aim with the mouse. You can't click on anything. Even the menus don't support the mouse.
Oh, jeez.
But you still have to use the mouse to shoot and
dash.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
It's really dumb.
Wow.
Also, all the buttons, like in the tutorials and on screen, correspond to the controller.
Okay.
Even if you don't have one plugged in.
Oh, my God.
Which is pretty dumb.
That's pretty... that's bad. It's bad news. Wow. Okay, so I have a copy of it waiting to download. I have been kind of hesitant until they get these whole, like, maybe it's... Is it a virus? What's going on? kind of thing figured out. Then I'm going to pull it, but...
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
And it sucks for people who want to do Kickstarters for their game now, because here's a whole bunch of people who got burned by it.
Yeah.
And now they don't want to use Kickstarter anymore.
It's a shame for Inafune, who Red Ash?
Yeah, his spiritual Mega Man successor to Mega Man Legends.
Yeah. Did he run the Kickstarter? Did that get funded?
It did not, but he got outside funding by some bizarre Chinese company.
Yeah, I don't... People are going to judge that game harshly based on this one.
Yeah. Oh, Inafune is going to have a hard time now.
He's going to have a hard time getting out from under this
one,
for sure.
And I don't think it's entirely his fault.
No, I mean, you got to put a lot of the blame on the dev team. And they just, again, they got over their head.
Yeah. I don't know who they hired to do it.
I think maybe they stretched themselves out too thin and added way too many stretch goals.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That they could not meet.
There should not have been online play.
No.
They should have never did that. Nobody wanted that.
No, not a million years.
And that's hard. That's like, making a game alone is really, really hard. Making an online game is like stacking it four times as hard.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be down on it, because making games is really, really hard. People
sure.
don't understand how hard it is to make a game.
Yeah, because you've made a couple of games.
Yeah.
It's tough. It is tough.
I don't want to totally trash it, because it has redeemable qualities. I would be lying if I said I didn't have any fun when I was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably write something about this, because I definitely have feelings.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. But it just... I don't know. Again, I just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve to be called a con man. I know a lot. That's the running joke, is that he's con man because of the Mega Man
thing.
Name
yeah.
scheme thing.
Yeah.
I don't think he was trying to screw anybody over.
No, he just made a poor product. That's all it is. We were talking off mic about this a little bit. The comment you made was, it's clear that he was a salesman and not really the developer. I think this project proved it. He takes a lot of credit for Mega Man, but it was really more of the other developers.
And all the characters are just exact. They have all exact analogs to Mega Man characters.
Oh, they do.
There's even that little suitcase guy that I can't remember his name that gives you items.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
There's a guy that does that. It's a little plug dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Rock Roll.
Do you think Inafune was making this game hoping that Capcom would look at it and go, hey, do you want to just... Do
Mega Man? I don't know.
You just want to slap a Mega Man paint scheme over it and just do that?
Thank God that he didn't.
Yeah.
Because we don't need a bad Mega Man game.
Oh,
Yes, yeah, that already happens with Sonic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we should probably talk about that. Sonic, the Sonic Twitter account was dropping some,
which is always on point. Like it whoever runs that Sonic account is pretty funny.
He's a funny guy.
Pretty tapped into the ridiculousness of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, the whole joke was Inafune did an interview. It was a weird interview. I don't know who he did it with. Was it IGN?
I don't know. I think it was just a stream that they did.
Okay. Well, there was a translation issue with the American translator, and Inafune had said something, and it was translated as, well, it's better than nothing, which is a really crummy thing to say after you've been given $4 million by your fans for a game.
Made me really mad and think really negatively about Inafune, but that's not what
he
said.
As it turns out, it's not what he said, but people have been kind of running with that a little bit, and the Sonic the Hedgehog, the official Sonic Twitter account, made some snide comment about it being, you know, well,
yeah, congratulations, Mighty Number 9. It's better than nothing. And in a picture of Sonic the Hedgehog shrugging.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Yeah, but the response was pretty good as well.
Yeah, but then Wired's Chris Kohler tweeted at Sonic a Photoshop DS cartridge box that said Sonic and the Glass House.
Yeah, because there have been a lot of bad Sonic games over the past couple years.
Yeah,
so,
Sonic has no room to talk.
Yeah, but I was mad yesterday watching all of these reports roll in. I'm just sad now.
You're more invested in it than I was. Backed it. Yeah.
I spent money on this stupid thing. And I was mad yesterday. Now I just feel bad. I feel bad for everybody involved. It's a real bummer.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get a round of patches in there and it'll end up being, you know.
I hope so.
An all right game.
Yeah. Right now they need to shoot for okay.
Yeah.
That's the best they can do. At this point,
I could see a sequel working. I think if they gave it another try and...
Yeah, not Kickstarter.
Yeah, don't Kickstart it.
That would not work.
I mean, they ended up getting a publisher anyway.
Yeah,
who did a terrible job marketing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the reports of this game made me sadder than an anime fan on prom night. Yeah.
That's how you advertise. We talked about
that. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on from that. I think we've beat that dead horse enough.
Yeah, we spent like 15 minutes on that. So, yeah.
So, hey, guess what? Bryan Cranston is Zordon in the new Power Rangers movie. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a great actor. That's way above his ability.
Yeah. Hey, he is a great actor with an iconic look. Let's make him a giant floating blue head. Although this makes me wonder if we're going to see like actual human Zordon at some
point.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think you'd hire Bryan Cranston and not
what about Godzilla?
He was in it.
He at least moved around it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't the voice of Godzilla.
It's not the first time Bryan Cranston's been on Power Rangers.
That's true. He was the Snizzard.
Yep, he was the voice of Snizzard.
Yeah, he was the voice of another one as well, although I don't Snizzard's the one that everyone remembers.
Yeah.
And the character Billy, the character his in canon last name is Cranston based on
That's true.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. Which is pretty cool. But yeah, it's...
He's the only one in this movie with any sort of Power Rangers relation.
He is, yeah. I was thinking about that the
other
day.
Take that, JDF.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
We didn't get you, but we got the Snizzard.
Yep. but no, I've actually been kind of thinking about that, and how could they fit other characters... Other former Power Ranger actors, lesser known Power Ranger actors,
the
into this movie.
The answer is they won't.
They won't, but can you imagine Jason Nervey and Paul Schreier, Bulk and Skull, popping up somewhere?
Oh, man. I feel like they'd have to, but they won't.
They won't. I saw someone online suggest, hey, would it be cool if they popped up as Bulk and Skull? And my counter argument is make them Squat and Babu. Make them Rita's henchmen, because they are great physical actors. And it would be a role where they would be able to kind
Their
of
makeup.
It would be a neat little, even if it's just in the background for one scene, like a flashback or something. Just have them in the background and make a joke, and that's it. Because they're by and large the best actors that came out of Power Rangers.
Oh yeah,
Jason Nervey's a acting professor, like a film professor at some college out in California. Like he is
big actually
time.
Doing it.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Cranston. I think it's great casting. I'm excited to see Bryan Cranston and Rita Elizabeth Banks work against each other, work off each other, because you know they're going to have a scene together.
Yeah.
Even if it's a flashback, they're going to have a scene together.
Rangers, I am the one who knocks.
Yes.
Rangers, say my name.
Everything is all right about this movie except for the Rangers themselves and their suits.
Although I've seen pre-production of the actual suits. They're physical suits. They're not CG monstrosities.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're not Green Lantering that.
Yeah, animated.
And they look better than that art, that demo art
that popped up.
Uh-huh. They look a little better. I still don't like them, but they look okay. I'm going into this movie with an open mind. It's going to be difficult. I love my Power Rangers, but I'm going to go in with an open mind.
Yeah. Don't look at it as my Power Rangers you've ever known.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like going into Transformers expecting, you know, Alan Oppenheimer, you know.
Yeah. You hit a vein there?
It's too soon.
What?
The whole Transformers debacle.
Oh, is it too soon? They've been putting these movies out for years.
Yeah, I know, and it hurts every time.
You know, if a new G.I. Joe movie was at least as good as the first Transformers movie, I would be okay with that.
Sure, yeah.
Because those G.I. Joe movies are just the worst.
They're just the bad.
The bottom of the barrel worst.
Yeah.
Hey, at least the second one, Cobra Commander, looked like Cobra Commander.
That's true.
That's about it.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of the movie was worse. Markedly worse than the first one.
It was real bad.
Which was very bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I guess the My Little Pony is going to get that treatment as well.
Yeah.
Because it's the next like Hasbro cartoon that's going to be made into a actual feature film. And this isn't based on the
Friendship. But it's animated.
It is animated, which is good, but it's not based on the Friendship is Magic, right?
It is.
Oh, it is?
So you get all the baggage that comes with that.
I don't know how much of but the voice actors that are in that as the main characters are going to be the main characters in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know. We don't know if it's going to look the same.
Nope. Huh. All we've seen is a logo.
I wish it was live action.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
That would be great.
Some painted ponies.
Mr. Ed,
I'm pretty sure that falls under animal cruelty nowadays.
No, horses love peanut butter.
Yeah, it's great.
Try sparkle.
No, it's a real live horse with Tara Strong's voice coming out of it.
Majestic.
Movie of the year, all year.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
All the wheelbarrow full of Oscars.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's not going to be a good movie.
No.
You can disagree.
Well, no. I'm not going to disagree because it's getting the live, it's getting the movie treatment. So it's more and more. I used to be excited about, you know, franchises I liked being made into movies, and over the years, it's
now they just mangle them.
Yeah.
Welcome to being old.
I know. They've been
mangling properties. Kids' properties have had stuff lost in translation forever. Masters of the Universe, the movie.
I know.
The first Punisher movie.
With the same actor?
Both Dolph Lundgren, but whatever.
Maybe the problem is Dolph Lundgren.
The problem might be Dolph Lundgren.
I've heard that that Kindergarten Cop 2 movie with him is garbage.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, it's a WWE Pictures movie, so along with Jingle All the Way 2. That's a wrestler movie.
There's a Jingle All the Way 2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Starring wrestlers.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
Larry the Cable Guy in it, too?
I think so. Yeah. Don't watch it. It's not good.
I know there was a Leprechaun Origins with Hornswoggle.
Oh, yeah.
With the Hornswoggle. The only good WWE movie, and I haven't actually seen it to prove this, is the Soska Sisters directed one that's See No Evil 2.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that's pretty good.
Over the Top. Was it Over the Top? The one where Hulk Hogan's the wrestler and he fights against Zeus.
Yeah, I think it's called Over the Top.
Over the Top, yeah. Hmm. No. I'm wrong. Over the Top is the arm wrestling movie starring Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
No Holds Barred.
That's it. There you go.
I knew it was going to come to me. I knew. You could see the gears turning there. Okay. So that's been our wrestling talk.
WrestleMania.
That's apparently part of the show.
It's become part of it, I guess.
That was wrestle time.
Yeah. So they've been doing more stuff with the DC TV shows, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that coming out.
Quite a bit.
We're not going to talk about it. No, we're not going to talk about it.
The big ones, Linda Carter is going to be on Supergirl. That's pretty cool.
She's as president of the United States.
Sure.
Which is fitting. She's very presidential.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm in. Yeah,
well, she was Princess of the Amazon. Yeah. So.
I love Linda Carter. I love the original Wonder Woman show.
Yeah.
It's so cheesy, but it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It gets Wonder Woman, though.
Yeah.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Carter gets Wonder Woman. I've heard her talk about Wonder Woman in interviews and be like, yes, that's who she is.
That's it, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Beyond that, they're going to be adding the character Artemis to Arrow. I can't remember the actress's name.
Madison something.
Something or other, yeah. You know, if only there was some sort of internet-type device that I could look it up real quick.
Yeah.
I'm remembering this off the top of my head. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. Madison McLaughlin. That's the name. Pulled right off. Didn't look at the internet. Nope. Remembered it. Nailed it.
Is she related to Kyle McLaughlin?
I hope so.
Or Sarah McLaughlin.
Great. But no, Artemis is Arrow type character.
Lady Arrow.
Yeah. Her character actually popped up a lot on the Young Justice cartoon.
Yeah, she was very cool on Young Justice.
Yeah.
In the comics, though, cool. Isn't she like Amazonian or something like that?
There was an Artemis that was Amazonian. This one was...
I remember
just an arrow.
Yeah,
arrow
I remember girl. The Young yeah. Justice one. Like her dad was a villain,
Sportsmaster, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep, her dad was Sportsmaster.
Yeah,
she plays a double agent for a little bit too.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Artemis also a great Sailor Moon cat.
No, have you watched any of it?
No.
Artemis is the worst.
Really?
If they made him today, he would be an MRA.
Wow!
Like,
wow!
Constantly talking about how the sailors characters are. Like fat and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that far.
Real bad stuff. Yeah.
What a jerk.
Well, to be honest, I haven't watched a whole lot of Sailor Moon, but I listened to a podcast where they do it episode by episode because it's really funny. Where they think they poke fun at it, but some of the stuff.
Because there's a lot to poke fun at. It's a hilarious show.
Yeah. But there was an Artemis Spotlight episode they did a couple weeks ago, and he is the worst.
I had no idea because I only have the dub to go on, and they cut most of the crap out in the dub.
Go back and watch some of it, dude. It is, it's rough stuff.
He's not a good guy.
So anyway,
they also announced that the next season of The Flash is going to be based on the comic miniseries Flashpoint, which is all based around the Flash went back in time and saved his mother from being murdered, and that somehow changed the entire timeline.
It's kind of like a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh, yeah. Like, exponentially. Like, there was a war between
the Atlanteans and the Amazons,
and the humans get caught in the middle of it.
Bruce Wayne was murdered as a kid in the alley, and his dad became
Batman.
Hard-drinking, gun-shooting Batman.
Yep. And his mother became the Joker.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because it broke her.
Yeah, that was real weird. It's a shame, because I like The Flash a lot, but Flashpoint was not a good series. And I don't want to watch 26 episodes of it.
There's an animated movie of Flashpoint too that's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. They took the best parts of the comic series, but the reading it as the miniseries was
not a good time.
Not good. And it also introduced the New 52. That was the piece of tape that they put over the DC universe to turn it into what we have now. And I still am not happy about that.
Or had, I guess.
Had, yeah, because it's gone now. Comics.
They did get to exactly 52 issues. Too,
they did. They
before
did.
They dropped the new.
No,
52.
No, they did more than that. They rebooted back to one at one point after like a handful of.
Did they?
They did. They went. They
I
went
forgot
about
they
that. They went about 12 or 13 issues, and then everything went back to one, and then they did 52. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Never mind.
I don't know. Why is DC so fixated on the number 52? I get it. It's 52 weeks in the year, and they did that weekly book.
I don't know.
A couple years ago.
I don't know, but they really are.
It's like everything revolves around the number 52.
Cult thing.
Well, originally, it was going to be 52 titles for like 52 characters.
The new 52. Yeah, there were 52 titles until they canceled like 8 of them.
And then more and more.
And then added more and got rid of some. And yeah, it originally popped up with the comic series 52.
Yeah.
Because the comics took a year jump into the future when they rebooted one time, and then they put out this weekly book that told week by week, like in real time, what happened during that year that
I remember
the comics were missing.
Yeah,
and and I loved it because it focused on some of my favorite characters: the Question, what introduced Renee Montoya as the Question, and Booster Gold, and Steel, and the Elongated Man. Some of my favorite like obscure characters.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, the deep cuts. Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Flashpoint's not very good. The season of Flash, I hope they do something interesting with it. I hope they don't follow the comic series too closely because I'm not a fan.
I heard that Flash episode that Kevin Smith directed was phenomenal.
That's what I hear. Yeah, that's what I hear.
I only seen like 4 episodes of The Flash, so I can't really watch it. But
okay. Well, you could. You could technically watch it.
I don't think I would enjoy it.
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, probably
the way it was meant to be enjoyed.
But no, that's what I hear. His episode was really good. And I love The Flash. It's probably my favorite of the DC TV stuff. Yeah. It's going to be a heck of a lot better than that Krypton show. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Gotham, but on Krypton and set 200 years in the past.
In a utopian society. Where's your conflict there?
Well, they're going to make conflict, but it's just dumb. You know, there was some casting for it. I don't even want to talk about it because it's
a bad idea all the way down.
Yeah, because at least with Gotham, there are ancillary characters that you can tell pre-Batman stories with. Not great pre-Batman stories, but you can tell them.
Outside of Gotham brought out freaking Mr. Freeze, and that ticked me off more than anything.
Outside of Jor-El and Zod, who do you know about Superman's backstory?
Just nothing, because it's not the interesting part of Superman.
It's the least interesting part of Superman. In fact, every time that there is a Krypton-heavy arc in Superman, the sales dip, because
no one cares.
No one cares about...
Oh, sorry. Jor-El, Zod, and Brainiac.
Brainiac, well, that was a retcon, though.
Oh, did they? Brainiac's not part of Krypton anymore?
No. Brainiac is from the planet Kolu, and he stole the Kandor and shrunk it down.
Well, yeah.
But other than that, no. At one point, Brainiac was the Kryptonian supercomputer.
Yeah.
But it's not that way anymore. He's an actual alien with a supercomputer brain. Yeah, that's a real thing.
Oh,
yeah.
That's dumb.
It is. Oh, it very much is. But, I mean, I know, like, Laura Zor-El, Superman's biological mom, but that's because I'm a nerd. But beyond that, I don't know, because who cares?
What about Martha?
Martha.
Martha Kent is not from Krypton.
everyone's mother in DC Comics is named Martha.
Martha Allen.
Martha Allen, you know. Martha Jordan.
Oh my God!
Slade Wilson's mommy. She has her eye patch looks like a doily.
When I was at Origins, I saw this T-shirt. I almost got it. It said, "Martha is the safe word."
That's good. Oh, that's good. I like that. All right.
The crux of Superman is that he's an alien, and when you take away the alienness by explaining him, it doesn't work.
Here's the thing: under a red sun, Kryptonians don't have powers.
No, they're all humans. They're basically human.
They're humans. They're humans in funny costumes.
So why even make the show?
Because
it's stupid. It's stupid. It's just because it's dumb. Because they can. All right. Well, I think we've rambled into these mics long enough.
Yes, we.
Let's go ahead and close out. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can shoot us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com. You can tweet at us a tweet @nerd_overload. Give us a follow.
That would be great.
You can subscribe to us on YouTube at Nerd Overload TV.
Yep. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can get these each week or whenever I get around to putting them online. Let's be honest. Listen to us almost live at WZMOFM.com on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
107.5 WZMO.
That's it.
The big wazoo.
Nailed it. You nailed it. All right, anyways, thanks for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.